Audacity. Who gave you attitude?
The electorate in Tobago voting today for a Tobago House of Assembly, and more in this edition of the Caribbean News Roundup, coming right up. Tobagonians are heading to the polls today, Monday, for the second time in a year to elect a new Chief Secretary for the Tobago House of Assembly, THA. The People's National Movement, PNM, has stayed steadfast with Tobago Council leader Tracy Davidson-Celestin vying on their behalf for the post. The Progressive Democratic Patriots, PDP, is relying on the candidate described as the formidable Farley Augustine to be elected instead. Polls opened at 6 a.m. and closed at 6 p.m. After a parliamentary vote on several bills overseeing Tobago's governance, the hope is that votes will shatter the current 6-6 deadlock between the PNM and the PDP, with 3 seats being added to the slate. Each party has reportedly campaigned long and hard ahead of today's Tobago elections. As indicated, 15 seats are up for grabs in an election that is intended to break the deadlock which existed in the Assembly after the THA elections in January 2021, when the Assembly comprised only 12 seats. The January election had resulted in an even split down the middle, 6 seats to the People's National Movement and 6 seats to the Progressive Democratic Patriots. St. Lucian authorities are banking on firearms training for the country's security forces to help reduce the growing number of homicides. They are getting assistance from the UN in that initiative, as NBC Prime News reports.
2017 was St. Lucia's bloodiest year. A record-breaking 60 homicides were detected by police. The bloodshed has not let up since. 45 people were killed in 2018, 55 in 2019, and 50 murders were recorded in 2020. Curfews and lockdowns evidently had little effect on violent crime in 2021. By December 3rd, a reported 64 homicide cases were recorded, eclipsing the island's second highest total recorded only 2 years ago. Guns have been the weapon of choice in more than half of all recorded homicides committed in 2021. In December, the United Nations Office on Drugs and Crime, through its Global Firearms Program, took aim at St. Lucia's security and prosecution agencies for a specialized training session to define, develop, and promote higher standards in investigations and prosecution of illicit firearms crimes and other related crimes. Foreign Affairs Minister Alva Baptiste chaired the UN-sponsored training course.
I see a better day with training of our police officers, with greater social interventions by government, you know, by greater involvement of faith-based organizations and civil society. The fact is, government must, with lightning rapidity, put that coordinating a mechanism in place to ensure very early in the new term of this government we have everybody on board for collective decision making. We can no longer define a long-term trajectory by being in any air conditioned room.
2021 is now St. Lucia's deadliest year on record, and the possibility of more deadly gun violence looms large even before the year's end. A significant number of the killings are linked to gangs who often use lethal force to settle disputes. In the face of another record year of unlawful killings and an apparent surge in armed robberies, the Foreign Affairs Minister says all stakeholders should be concerned.
A man wanted in St. Lucia has escaped for the second time, this time in Jamaica. The Jamaican, who was awaiting extradition to St. Lucia after allegedly committing murder, escaped from the Kingston Central lockup on Wednesday. Jamaica police have confirmed that a manhunt has been launched for him. Here's CVM News.
After being arrested on a warrant for murder, illegal possession of firearm and ammunition, and escaping police custody in St. Lucia last August, Portland resident Orville Purnell has again escaped police custody on Wednesday. After escaping lockup October 2020, Purnell fled to Jamaica, where he was subsequently apprehended by the authorities in July. Deputy Superintendent of Police Dahlia Garrick says Purnell was to go before the court later this month to face extradition.
He, however, was discovered missing from the central lockups where he was being held by the team this morning, and a manhunt has been launched for him.
DSP Garrick says images of Purnell have been released by the police in efforts to recapture him. Meanwhile, Garrick is urging the public to contact the nearest police station with any information leading to his detention.
We're just appealing to the public that anyone with information on his whereabouts or for him to turn himself to the police immediately, persons who may have any information, and we are happy to get any information at all, however simple you may think it is or insignificant.
Nika Lewis, CVM Live.
Barbados, quote, making it happen, end quote, has sparked fresh discussion in at least two CARICOM neighbors. Jamaica and Antigua and Barbuda have once again found their voices focusing on the quest of also making these two countries republics. In addition to the askance glance at Bridgetown and blooming talk about the reality of taking such a step is an article in the Washington Post that focuses on the Barbadian, quote, bold step, end quote, of now having a presidential head of state. The article says in part, the seamless nature of Barbados' constitutional change is a reminder that monarchs are hardly irreplaceable in the modern age. The institution of a figurehead president who performs monarch-like rituals, pinning medals on Girl Scouts, cracking champagne bottles on new submarines and the like, might deserve criticism on its own terms, but as a democratic alternative to a hereditary king or queen, it's now a well-proven rebuttal to monarchist cries of, quote, if not this, then what, end quote. Jamaica-based regional broadcaster, journalist Julian Rogers, himself a Barbadian, shares some thoughts on the subject.
I'm really struck by the debate that Barbados's move to Republican status has generated across the region. And it's really also been a point of education, particularly from the historians. I heard one such over the last couple of days talk about the fact that when we all became independent states, we should really have gone the route of Republican status, because it was that point at which we should have severed this so-called link with the colonial master by appointing our own head of state. And this really is the significance of the move by Barbados. And I am moved, quite honestly, by the discussion that's generated and the support and calls for such a move in other Caribbean territories. It'd be interesting to see exactly how they move, because it clearly is a requirement for a major public education about such a move. It is clear in the misunderstandings and the questions raised by people, such as, hey, if somebody attacks Barbados, will Britain come to our aid? Or do we need to have a visa to go to England now? So it is obvious that there's a certain level of ignorance about the process and what it really means. And therefore, winning public support, overall public support, is going to require a very carefully planned education program to get people to understand clearly what moving to the Republican status means to them.
The Republic debate is getting some momentum in Antigua. Here's Observer Radio News.
Moving to a republic should not be very high on Antigua and Barbuda's legislative agenda unless other structural issues are addressed. Political and social commentator Carlin Knight made that suggestion earlier today, indicating that other issues are more important.
We tend to get caught up a lot in gesture politics because the more complex issues of nation building that really speak to structural issues that affect the poor, the dispossessed and disenfranchised are far more difficult to do. And so rather than try our best to divert our energies towards these structural issues. We tend to say, well, I think the gestures will get us election victory. They'll make us look as if we're doing something. We'll get our name in the papers. We'll get our name in the history books. We have all this largesse and hoo-rah-rah. When in reality, what you're doing has not in any way addressed, to my mind, the real issues affecting the majority of people.
Meanwhile, Attorney at Law Beverly Benjamin George, another contributor, believes it's high time for Antigua and Barbuda to make the transition. She also indicates that other changes will be included into the process, noting that Barbados did not make the move overnight.
Concept that was proposed in Barbados over decades, and it has been postponed. And what we're seeing is what is published to the public. But there are so many things that happened along with this, such as their constitution changed, such as Mia Motley changing the financial impediment to people getting higher education, because she understands that the best public is an educated public. So it's not just about name change. If it's just about name change, then it's worthless. I think incumbent in becoming a republic, it brings along all of these ancillary changes.
Grenada's main opposition party has begun preparing for elections due in 2023. Here's how, as GBN News reports.
The National Democratic Congress is taking a firm lead in ensuring supporters of the party are registered for the next general election, which is due in 2023. The party has embarked on a campaign called Bring In The Vote, which focuses on assisting individuals in getting registered for the next general election. Orlando Romaine, public relations officer of the NDC, says so far the initiative has been going well and expects it to be better as the time gets closer.
Register to vote, register for change. The message has been heard by many Grenadians, and they have in fact begun to show out in their numbers to register. We understand the importance of participation in the democratic process of elections, and we want to ensure that persons understand that also, and also understand the process of registration.
And that's the Caribbean News Roundup for today, Monday, 6th December. I'm Ken Richards. Thanks for listening.
The Caribbean News Roundup. Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. At 7:30 a.m., 12:30 p.m., and 6 p.m. Get to know our region even better with OSAR Radio.